Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, guys? This is a collab episode of the DNVR Rams, DNVR Buffs podcast. I'm Justin Michael. I'm with Henry Chisholm, and we are talking about the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It is back. Long live the RMS. Complicated feelings on this one from both sides, I'm sure. Henry, what was your initial reaction when you found this out?
I mean, it is good. You know, we knew yesterday, so the Buffs are in spring practice still. The Rams fans may not know that. So after like the Zoom media call last night, we were told pay attention to your emails. Something big's coming at 11 tomorrow. It's like, okay, sounds good. And so my mind had been kind of wandering. It's like, okay, like fans at the spring game, like did they get like a Nebraska deal figured out? You know, there were like things bobbling around. And to be honest, like, Rocky Mountain Showdown, because I had been thinking of like what the big things could have been, I was like, oh yeah, kind of expected it to happen at some point, right? Like they weren't just gonna not play each other anymore. But yeah, I think you see it. I think the format makes a lot of sense. 2 years on, 2 years off. It's tough when you have three non-conference games because you want to play a variety of different teams. You want to play in a bunch of places so that you can show off to like recruits out there, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, losing a third of your, you know, opportunities to schedule games for yourself, it sucks. There's obviously huge pros that come with it. And I think that two on, two off on campus, I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Joe Parker about it, and I'm sure, I mean, he was honest. You know, CSU would obviously like to play every year if that was a possibility. I mean, he even explained basically exactly what you said. And it makes it tough when they only have three non-conference. Colorado State has four non-conference games. A little bit more flexibility on their end. Excited to see it return. I mean, I think CSU fans still a little bit frustrated that they lost, you know, the home game this past year, rightfully so. They have that, you know, that opportunity. I will say it's a little bit funny to think about these games just because they're so far out in advance.
Seriously.
Like 29, like, 30, 33, 34, 37, 38. Like, I saw a thing on Twitter today, the 2038 game is the most far scheduled out game in all of college football right now. 17 really? Years, 4 months, 30 days.
It's crazy. I know. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I can say with probably 97% confidence that both the quarterbacks who are going to start that game have been born. But what a crazy thing to even be able to think about. Like the potential that like you have to do the math to be like, yeah, there's no way that there's like a 17-year-old that's going to be starting. No, he's certainly alive, the quarterback in that game.
More than likely. I mean, the fact that it's even a possibility is seriously hilarious, but I don't know. That's just where we're at. I mean, we kind of asked Joe Parker about it today, and he was like, that's just the direction it's been heading the last couple of years. And apparently after the pandemic, there seems to be an interest even more so on these AD's ends to just get all of this stuff locked up and finalized and then, you know, not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense too. And I think now Colorado, I mean, they might not have an opening until 2029 in their schedule. I think for the most part, they're all booked up. And, you know, I've never been an athletic director before, but it seems like knowing that you have games scheduled for 8 years would give you just a little bit of a sense of like confidence, knowing that you're going to be able to play all these games. You don't have to worry about it, panic, especially because like, I think Colorado has done a good job scheduling opponents. You know, you really just want to play good teams, I think, is probably just the best strategy. And Colorado's scheduled a lot of good teams. You know, they've got Texas A&M next year. They've got Minnesota next year. Minnesota again the year after that. You know, the NDSU game is like terrifying, but Florida's down the way. Northwestern, there's some games that you look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of these programs have done a pretty good job of scheduling desirable games, both from a recruiting perspective, from a fan attendance perspective. You know, you mentioned Minnesota. CSU's recently had a home and home with Minnesota. They recently had a game, you know, at Florida, Alabama. They had a home and home with Arkansas. That was kind of a fluke. Arkansas was supposed to play Notre Dame, I think, and then it fell through or something like that. So it was kind of like a last minute patch deal. That won't happen very frequently, but it's just cool to see both of these programs scheduling up. CSU's got Vanderbilt coming to town this year. They're also traveling to Iowa. They've got a 2022 game at Michigan. They've got a Texas game at 2024. So a lot of really just cool opportunities for fans of these programs to travel and be, you know, like road buffs and road Rams or whatever. I don't, road buffs is a term I know. I don't really think there is one for CSU. But I'm going to make it one because CSU fans, they do travel well for those games.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, I've gotten so used to Pac-12 scheduling, like the 9-game conference schedule. And I remember like when I first got this job and first started covering the Buffs, I was really confused about why you would do that. First of all, because like everybody else has an 8-game conference schedule and it works well for them because you have, you know, an even number of home games and road games. One more game means like, I guess across the conference in the Pac-12, that means there's 6 more losses that are going to be handed out during conference play, which you don't really like. That looks bad at the end of the season. But maybe more than I hate the 9-game schedule for those two reasons, missing out on the 4th non-conference game just sucks. You know, that variety is so much fun. And it's one of the cool things about college football is that you get to see a bunch of different teams. And obviously, like, the number one cool thing about college football is the rivalries. And you don't want to mess with that side of it. But there is room for more on the Pac-12 side. And, you know, I think that if the Pac-12 was playing 4 non-conference games, it'd be a lot easier for Colorado to say, you know what, we're going to want not a warm-up game. Honestly, kind of from CU's perspective, a trap game, a game that if you win, nobody's really going to bat an eye nationally. And if you lose, people are going to be saying terrible things about Colorado nationally. And maybe you could find a way to put that on the schedule, though, if you had room for just one more every year.
It's an interesting thought. I mean, I'd be up for it. I don't understand the Pac-12's desire to play 9 conference games. I'm sure there's a financial component that comes down to like,
yeah,
more TV money because it's not going out of the conference or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like it would make more sense. You have opportunities to schedule more games against the Big Ten or schedule more games against the Mountain West. I will say, you know, I'm fully aware that there's a lot more to risk in this series for Colorado than there is for Colorado State, just given the Pac-12 Mountain West dynamic. But if they lose the game one, there's not that many people nationally talking about either of these programs.
Anyways, that is fair. That is very fair.
And two,
not sure it's going to like be the lead for Stephen A. Smith and
exactly
Monday morning.
But also, like, it's not like you're losing to a team from, I don't know, like the MAC or something, you know, Ohio, yeah, or something like it. It's an in-state rivalry game. People understand. There was a time where this game really was competitive. not so much over the last decade, which has been disappointing just from a viewership perspective. I think both fan bases, I don't know, maybe CU fans would rather just see a curb stomping every year. Personally, I think it was more thrilling when it came down to last second field goals like 5 years in a row. That was awesome. Let's get back to that place. Before we, you know, keep talking about this, keep giving our initial reactions, talk about the rivalry, whether it's good, all that, we should acknowledge our presenting sponsors. Hank, you want to go first and shout out the Colorado XOs?
Sure. And this is going to be a fun thing we get to do because we have different presenting sponsors. But for the Buffs listeners, presenting sponsor, the Colorado XOs, really cool things happening. What they're doing out there at Infinity Park in Glendale is taking athletes who played other sports. There's like SEC football players who didn't make it in the NFL. There's like basketball players who were that equivalent in baseball and track, all sorts of different athletes. And they're teaching them how to play rugby. And they're training at the same facility as the U.S. national teams in Glendale. And the idea is to coach them up enough that they can play on the national team. And so far, things are going well. It's their first season. They're 3-1. And if you want to follow along, you can do that with DNVR Rugby on Twitter, the DNVR Rugby podcast, or at thednvr.com.
Also, Colorado State fans, check out Colorado XOs because Colton Strickler, who does the rugby podcast, CSU alum. Shout out our guy. We also want to shout out Chevalier Mortgage. Sure, you're probably hearing how great mortgage rates are right now. Mike in Virginia, they're not just your typical mortgage company. What separates them is Mike, he is a certified financial planner, looks at so much more than just the rate when designing your home loan. They're a small family-owned company, so you can trust them. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com, enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice when you do. Most importantly, you're going to get set up with a free consultation, or you can give Mike a call directly at 970-412-2472. Visit dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631. That was fun. It was a different way to do things.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm curious though, what do you think of all these games being on campus versus in Denver at the neutral site?
It's interesting. I think it's probably going to be less hostile, just given that you're going to have significantly more, you know, of the home fans versus Denver. It's a little bit more split. It's a cool opportunity for fan bases, you know, for alumni to come back and check it out. I think naturally it makes sense, but it's also kind of a bummer because it's just going to make the tickets really, really expensive. I mean, the interest is going to be really high and that's good for both of these programs, but they were selling like 70,000 tickets these last couple of years.
Yeah,
in Denver, it's not like there was no interest in it.
Yeah, and it's not just that they're selling tickets. Like, so that was the first game, the first CU game that I covered. And so, you know, you get down there and you're standing by the end zone, just like watching warmups and stuff. And then Von Miller walks by, and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then Bol Bol walks by, and then you've got like all sorts of different big names in Denver sports.
Philip Lindsay was there. Jack Barrett was there.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Monte Morris was there.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's just so cool. It's just so cool. And it does draw so much interest holding the game in Denver. And I do think it's probably best to get it back on campus. I think every football game, every college football game would be better off on campus. That is a take that I fully believe in, and even right now when it's a little bit tougher, I'm going to stick with it. But I do think you are missing a lot. I mean, first of all, you let in 20,000 fewer people. You don't probably have the same tailgating scene. Probably not, just because you don't have the numbers. And it's such a central location that it's, I don't know.
I have very mixed tailgate in Boulder and Fort Collins than it is outside of the Broncos Stadium. That's not a dig at either spot. Both are great college towns. Both have great game day atmospheres. But Denver, I mean, with the way that the Broncos Stadium works and the parking lots surrounding, it just makes it all really convenient.
There's just square miles of pavement for people to drink and grill on. Like, and there's a bunch of cool places to tailgate in Boulder, but it's like, you're walking around, turn a corner, it's like, oh look, there's somebody in this yard, or like there's somebody outside the school of whatever. And it's just it's a very easy to kind of just like mass tailgate at an NFL stadium, which isn't a surprise. And there's definitely really cool things you get by having it on campus. Like, again, the playing the Rocky Mountain Showdown in front of the Flatirons, that's cool. That's really cool. And again, that's where college football is supposed to be played. And so I do think that, like, maybe it was wrong in the first place to put it in the Broncos stadium, just because it does just kind of, it kind of just mass produces the experience, just makes it available to everybody. And you lose some of the feeling behind it.
That's fair. I mean, there's definitely a lot more casuals going to the game in Denver, you know, versus what it'll be like in the stadium. This will be the people, the diehards that really, really care for the most part.
Or can
and
afford
some
it.
Like corporate people, yeah, with yep. a lot of money. there'll always be an aspect to that.
Diehards and rich people. Events.
Yeah, diehards and rich people. It's like the people that probably shouldn't be spending their money on it, but are going to do it because they care that much. And then the people that just have so much money that they can just go to whatever they want, whenever they
love
want.
Love that.
That must be nice. Someday, seriously. Hank. Someday, Hank. Someday. We'll be there.
Yeah. I do think that
the games are more fun on campus. Like,
yeah.
When I was growing up, you know, obviously I watched some of these games, you know, more so than you did. I know that you loved BVP, and so you did see, you know, some
yeah,
of the
Yeah, we aren't
CSU
supposed to be telling people up. That, but yes,
yeah,
I did.
Well, guess what? They got to know it, because BVP ruled, and there are CU players I'll give props out. Shout out Jeremy Bloom. Okay, now we're even.
There we go. We're even.
The games in Boulder were really fun. 2004, you know, CU wins 27-24. 2005, CU wins 31-28. Those are really great games. One of them ended on a goal line stand. CSU should have scored. that one'll be forever just ingrained in the back of my mind of like, this is what being a CSU fan. It's so heartbreaking. And then 2009, CSU wins in Boulder 23-17. So if we're looking historically over the last 20 years, three of the most competitive games of the series have been on campus. So hopefully we get more of that.
Yeah. I think that having some off years is going to be big too. I mean, people get fired up.
It matter more.
Exactly. I think people will always be fired up for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. But, you know, first of all, I mean, we've got a big break on the way soon. I mean, kind of right now, we're in the midst of one, and then we're going to get another. I mean, there's a game in 2024 and not again until 2029. And so that 2029 game, things are going to be heated. That is going to be a game that, I mean, starting in 2024, people are going to be looking forward to. As soon as the final whistle blows and it's like, losers, we get the trophy for the next 5 years. That is when that cycle starts up again. And, you know, those 2 years off in between, I almost wish that it was like 3 years on and it was like Boulder, Fort Collins, neutral site. And then a year off, or even 2 years off, something like that. I don't know. I do think that they probably came up with the best plan, because in hindsight, like I say that, then I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't work. You do a neutral site or you don't. And I mean, I feel like that's it. Whatever I think, I wind up going back to 2029 to 2038, 2 years on, 2 years off. Each team gets a home game. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, CSU didn't want that 5 year gap. Joe Parker did say that.
Yeah.
Sounds like CU has some things in the works. Sounds like CSU is about to announce another home and home as well.
Huh.
That one will probably be, it's got to be at least 5 years out, because their next 4 years are already booked up. That's the one thing about learning all of these games so early. It kind of takes some of the mystery out of it. Like, it would be kind of intriguing if every offseason was, oh, who are they going to schedule? And we got to find out, like, oh man, they're going to Michigan this year. Like, wow. But also that would make it really hard to plan. And this probably logistically makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, say everybody agreed, that would be the better way to do things. And all the ADs are just like, yeah, okay, we'll wait until the off season or like during one season to start planning for the next season. Even then, like, you have games scheduled through 2038 now. Like, you could say, okay, here's what we're doing from here on out. And that's not even, like, nobody's even scheduling a game in the next 4 years because everybody's booked. And then starting with that, maybe there's like one here or there. And it takes 20 years to get to the point where that is the norm, if you decided today that that's what you want to happen.
It's just such a weird process. Like,
it is.
We know that in 2027, the University of Arizona will play a game at Fort Collins. That'll be fun. 2029 CU will come to town. Like, that'll be fun, but I'm going to be really old at that point. I'll be like 35 Seriously. By the time these games happen.
Yeah, I remember I must have been about 7 when the news came out that Montana was going to have a game with Oregon. And that game just happened the year before last. And if anybody missed it, Oregon did win that one. But it was a game that when you're like 7, you're in the stands, everybody's like, guess what? We're going to play Oregon in 15 years. And everybody's excited. And the day comes and you're like, wow, this is the majority of my life. I have been waiting for this football game to happen. And here it is. And now here we are. It's like, okay, Florida 2029. Looking forward to it. Missouri 2030. That'll be a lot of fun. Just crazy.
I'm excited. It's just hard when it's so far out in advance. You know what I mean? Once it comes around, I'll get in that mindset. But I mean, even now we've got a couple of years until they play each other again. So yeah. 2023 can't get here soon enough, in my opinion.
Do you have any bold predictions? I feel like we need bold predictions for the 2038 game, which I believe is on CSU's campus. Like, you want to say maybe there's no more parking lots? Maybe everybody just has like hovercrafts or something that they take everywhere? I don't know. That's probably a terrible prediction. That's not going to happen. You'd still need a place to park those.
Yeah, where do you put your hover? You still need a parking lot just to hovercraft.
Yeah, because I was thinking like you just like put them up in the sky. Like, he just like
they just float,
but that'd then you have cool. to get out still. I guess they could go up by themselves, but yeah, like, I don't know. Like, what even is the sport of football at that point? Like, have we gone back to the triple option? Like, does it just look like basketball on grass? Like, has there been a 30,000 seat addition at Folsom Field? And well, have they finally like upgraded the sound 17 system?
Years from a campus perspective, from mm-hmm. a football perspective. I mean, the game obviously is drastically shifted towards the passing offense. Like you said, we could, who knows, maybe it goes back to a more run centric game. That seems unlikely just given the physicality that it takes to be like a run heavy football team and the way that we're kind of leaning with trying to limit contact. But
true,
I mean, these campuses are going to be significantly different. Colorado is going to be way different. Think about how many people are going to be around. I think about Fort Collins 7 years ago, and it's absurd how much has changed. And I'm sure the same is true for Boulder. I mean, it's just funny. It's funny to think about we're scheduling games for kids that are what, probably 2 and 3 years old right now.
Yeah, most of the starters. Yeah. And I mean, like what is the roughing the passer rule in 2038? Like, what have we tacked on there? Like, is it now like,
can you even tackle the quarterback at that point? Yeah,
it's now just wrap up only. Like, I think that if we're talking 16 years out, 17 years out, that's definitely on the table. I don't know.
That's the case. I would just not want to watch football anymore. I'm out.
Oh, no. It's just crazy that they do this stuff so far in advance. But I feel like, in general, good deal. Good day. I am curious if there's, like, any... like how do ticket sales work, all that kind of stuff. And I guess it's probably the same as anything else. But I do wonder if there's anything like behind the scenes that's in here that will be interesting.
No, I mean, one of the big keys for this game for both schools really is there's no financial compensation on either end for them, you know, coming to their stadium. So you're saving money there. I mean, that's a big deal even for a program like CU, who, you know, let's face it, it's, you're not raking in the revenue in the Pac-12 that you are in the SEC. Or the Big Ten, and the
by 2038 though.
Less.
By 2038,
things will have changed, guys. Sure,
just you watch. That's what people were saying about the basketball teams not 2 months ago.
Oh man! All right, yeah. I want to ask you some questions just about, you know, this game from CU's perspective. We can go into it from CSU's perspective.
Want to hit a break
as well.
First?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We should.
Oh, of course.
Shout out our friends. I know, we're just thinking of, we're on each other's minds. That sounded
good. We are.
You basketball team. We need to do more podcasts together. The yeah, audience is like probably like, no, you don't, but that's okay.
We'll have to figure something out. Like, I've been trying to think, like, what are, like, July is fine, I guess. July, you're mostly like getting ready for camp. You can go through all the positions, all that kind of stuff. But June, though, maybe we need to Maybe like once a week we preview one of the conferences, or like 2 days a week and we do swim divisions. I don't know. There's got to be something fun we can do, because there will not be news in June.
Yeah, and there's just too much college football to talk about to only, you know, focus on these. Obviously, we're going to talk so much CSU and CU that, you know, tell people are blue in the face. But
oh, yeah.
There's plenty to talk about. We're college football fans, aficionados, if you will. The other thing we are, though, we are sports betting fans and basketball teams. They're entering the final month of the regular season. They gear up for the playoffs. While some teams are locks to make the playoffs, hopefully the Nuggets still... I don't know, man. I feel just heartbroken today.
Yeah. It's a bad day.
I don't want to bring it down, but it's a sad day in Nuggets Nation. Shout out Jamal Murray. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. They're putting you in the center of the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100. All you got to do, pick one team. If they hit a three, you get $100 in free bets. Hank, this might be the easiest way to get $100 I've ever heard.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of an easier $100.
When was the last time an entire team didn't hit a three?
I don't even know. Especially because we're not talking about college basketball. Like, crazy things happen in the NBA. Basketball.
Yeah.
Like, and even there, you would be very happy taking this bet and it would hit. But in NBA basketball, for a team to not make a three-pointer, I mean, I doubt that's happened in two seasons. Three seasons? Two seasons?
I like it. You gave yourself, it's confident enough, but not so far out there where we're really screwing ourselves. It's probably like already happened this year or something dumb like
probably.
That.
Probably. But not the Nuggets don't have Jamal, it might happen to them. Not to get back onto that though.
R.I.P. in pieces.
Yeah, poor knee.
Anyways, teams are hitting threes at an unprecedented rate. Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook before this killer offer ends. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up for your chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. The team of your choosing hits a three. That's the code DNVR to turn $1 into $100. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. That was fun stuff.
Also... yeah. Let's see. Time and time again, the one thing that has protected people against economic downturns is an education that allowed them to adapt into varying careers. So go and build your toolbox at MSU Denver Online. MSU Denver Online puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs, and some of our very own staff members at DNVR took MSU Denver online classes last summer. They said that the professors were extremely engaged, extremely responsive to any emails or questions or any of that kind of stuff. Also, they generally work in the same field that you're taking your class in, and it's an opportunity to network with them. They said that the content in the courses is very relatable. There's no bullshit fodder, was the quote, which is, I'd take his word for it. So definitely check that stuff out. MSU Denver Online, they've been doing online schooling for a while, and they've really figured out what works and what doesn't. You can check out the 40-plus online and hybrid programs that can get you a degree, the 700-plus online and hybrid courses that they offer at msudenver.com/online.
Love it. Finally, the farmhouse is open, socially distanced. We love Breck Brews over here at DNVR. We know that you do too. If you're more comfortable at home, that's okay. You can still order curbside pickup from 12 to 8 p.m. Just use the code DNVR to save $5 off of your order. You can also get Breck anywhere near you. Liquor stores, grocery stores, King Soopers, Safeway, Costco, Walmart, you name it. Breck will be there. Just hop on the Breck Beer Locator. It'll tell you the closest liquor store / grocery store near you. It's just so convenient to find Breck Brews. Honestly, at this point, it'd be harder to find a liquor store that doesn't have Breckenridge beers than it would be to find one. You know, you guys get what I'm saying here. I'm getting tongue-tied. They're freaking everywhere.
They are everywhere.
Avalanche beer. Shout out to Strawberry Sky. That's my favorite summer beer. I also love Mountain Beach. Hank, what's your favorite Breck beer?
It's also the Strawberry Sky. Since you took that, though, I will give a shout out to the seltzers. Very, very good seltzers. And, you know, the difference between like a 300 calorie beer and a 100 calorie seltzer, you know, it's not that much. I mean, it's about 200 calories. But the difference between like
over time.
Five, yes, that's the thing. You have like five 300 calorie beers versus five seltzers. All of a sudden, that's 1,000 calorie difference. And so to me, like, not that I'm like the most healthy person. I ate Popeyes yesterday and the day before, but I feel like that's just more reason to be like, if there's a way I could just kind of cut the corner right here, this is a happy substitution, especially in the summer.
Yeah, it's swimsuit season, guys. You gotta think about the gut a little bit. I know that I do. I need to get back in the gym. It's been a long year for my physique.
Yes, me too. It's my body is changing. Like I feel like I started going to the gym just out of like pure boredom during the pandemic, and like there are only two or three things that I go up there. I'm like, I'm willing to do that. Like anything where it's like, I'm not going to go grab something and squat. I'm not going to like, there's these things you have to like whip over your head and like pull down and all that kind of stuff. And there's like two or three things. But what I found is that like, basically my pecs have grown. Nothing else has, because I'm like, those are the easiest exercises and the ones that I am willing to do.
You just got to find what works for you. I'm a bike guy, not a treadmill guy.
Yeah, me too. Treadmill. I can't. Honestly, I haven't been on a treadmill in forever, but the thought of a treadmill just like hurts my joints, like hurts my knees. Like it just feels like jumping, or I guess running on that would just be brutal.
I mean, it's better than concrete, but I used to run, but I hated every second of it. I've never been one of those guys that's, I love running. No, it's just running's good for you. And I wanted to look good, yep. But at what cost?
I really
at
like
what cost.
Ooh, yes. But I do think walking is nice, because I like going out and like seeing things and being in the sun. And that's why I thought I might like running, because it's basically the same. It just, you put your head in that space where it's just like, this is not fun and kind of hurts. Like nothing is enjoyable about that.
What was the response from CU fans online when this series was announced?
So it's kind of an interesting one, because actually I think our own Ryan Konigsberg really encapsulated what most Buffs fans were saying, which was, he's tweeted a lot recently, it turns out. Still scrolling. There we go. He said, "Hi, my name is Ryan, and I like the Rocky Mountains Showdown. Sue me." And I feel like that was that generally sums up how people are feeling, because it's like, it's a happiness, and they're glad that the deal got done and they're going to get the Rocky Mountain Showdown. But there's also this belief that everybody else is going to hate it, and so they have to like hedge against that and feel like it's different to like it. It's a weird vibe that's going on right now. But there are definitely some people who are like, why are we wasting our time, blah blah blah, and they're wrong and they're a small minority. But for the most part, it's people like defending why they're happy.
I just think it's good for the interest in college football as a whole in the state, which, let's be real, it's always going to play second fiddle to the Broncos. So anytime you have a game that generates this much interest,
yep,
that's good for both programs. I'm not saying that, you know, CU couldn't go out and get a game against a bigger school. Obviously, you got the Texas A&M game coming up. But, you know, if they get their ass kicked by A&M and Denver, I kind of have a feeling that the tune's going to change with some of these guys. Like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's not that bad to schedule CSU. I just think it's good for interest as a whole. CSU fans are obviously excited. I get all the qualms from Buffs fans and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be unfair about the process, but it's not like, you know, some of these games that they've added in place of CSU aren't that exciting. Yeah. I mean, Air Force, and that's equally in, or arguably in, probably a bigger trap game. I was going to say it's equal to CSU, but probably even tougher given the weirdness of their offense.
At the very least, they force you to spend a week practicing to defend the Air Force, which, or not the Air Force, the triple option, which just does not translate to any other week of the season. You know, if you schedule like an air raid team, you're like, oh, we might not see the air raid again. But there are a lot of teams that have like air raid concepts. Some of this will apply, you know, maybe like the emphasis on filling your gaps and that kind of stuff will help. But when you have to game plan for Air Force, that knowledge just does not add to everything else you've learned throughout the season.
It's just so unique. I mean, we see it in the Mountain West. Teams play them every year, and they just can't stop it. They can't stop it because you have to dedicate too much time to it. It's too weird. Do you think there'll ever be a day where we see a major program shift back to that style of offense, or is it the emphasis of recruiting NFL guys so high now that you wouldn't be able to do that because NFL guys aren't going to want to come play in that system?
It's really tough to say is the answer. In terms of like getting back to like the wishbone, like flex bone, like true triple option stuff, I would say no. And for a bunch of different reasons, but the one that you brought up is probably the biggest. You know, you need, I mean, you could find the fullback. You could find somebody who wants to carry the ball and is like close to 300 pounds and he'll just run forward on that first read on the option. Finding people who want to be those wingbacks, I feel like that gets tougher because you don't show much. Like, you show that you're fast getting around the edge, but, you know, when NFL scouts come looking, they want to see somebody who has the ability to like make good reads running between the tackles, and you just become put in a box, which is like the whole structure of the offense is that everybody has one thing that they do and they find whoever is the best at that one thing. You know, receivers, they just have to block. You want big guys who can block, and if they can go up and catch a jump ball too, then that helps. And just because of all that, and you have the cut blocking up front, like, it's just not conducive to the NFL. But I do think that
you can win with it, maybe, though.
What was that?
I completely agree with everything that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could get just a couple of talented guys to buy in,
that's all it would take.
At like an SEC type program, like, you could probably win. If I was a program like Vanderbilt, for instance,
mm-hmm.
why the hell not? You're not gonna out recruit, you know, Alabama or Georgia or Florida or any of these programs at their own game, anyways. Get weird with it.
I agree. And I think that low-end Power 5 schools are where you would be looking the most. But what I will say is that, like, when you look at what Oklahoma's offense does, maybe a third of their plays, if you wanted to, you could find a way to call it the triple option. Like, it'd be a weird sort of triple option where it starts with, like if it's an RPO, then it's like the run, the pass, and then you got the throw. But because of the way they simplify those reads and all the misdirection they use and that sort of thing, I think that there's a lot of triple option concepts. I think when you look at the NFL too, you look at, like, obviously the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, they have a bunch of that stuff. But even like the Chiefs, they run a bunch of things that they aren't lined up in traditional triple option. It might be Tyreek Hill running a little like loop around Patrick Mahomes in the backfield, and all of a sudden you've got the handoff, you've got the toss to him. And, you know, you see a lot of these triple option concepts, I feel like, that are popping up everywhere. And maybe somebody just goes all in with those and it would be more run heavy, but it's not going to be out of like the wishbone or anything like that.
Well, I don't even think you would want to do that against, I mean, even it might fool, you know, some of these SEC defenses for like a week or two, but if you went straight wishbone, you know, 60 snaps a game, they'd just stack the box against you, and eventually they'd start clogging those gaps and shut you down a little bit. But I don't know. It was just an interesting little thought we had there. That was kind of a tangent, not really on topic.
That wasn't, was it?
We have.
That's too bad.
Any more thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown? I'm just excited to have it back. I mean, I think it's fun. Like I said, it's good for interest in the state. I don't think traditionally either one of these programs are going to find a game that's that much more enticing, at least on a regular basis. There will be years, you know, where you play a Texas or you play a Texas A&M or a Florida or something like that. I don't know if it's going to be a year in, year out basis. I don't even know if you want that, because it's really hard to win those types of games.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it's like you kind of just want to sprinkle them in. And and have a little bit of, you know, oh, you know, maybe we have a shot in here, but really it'll just be an opportunity for the fans to travel. And some years you just want to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't really have much that I haven't said to this point. So I'll just say again, I think that 2 years on, 2 years off is the best way to do it. I think it keeps those rivalries alive. I think that having them in back-to-back years, you know, it's like Colorado just played the back-to-back years against Nebraska, and you win the first, and all of a sudden, all of the shit talk that everybody had for the first game, it doubles going the second, because Nebraska's like, oh, they think they're going to do this twice. Well, da, 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 da. And because you have those next to each other and you have the gaps, I think that the rivalry can get pretty intense. And again, it gives you opportunity to schedule games, which is something that you just need to have in the Pac-12. And who knows which games they'd have to drop to add more. But when you're Colorado, whether outsiders think that this is the right approach or not, you know, they think that they're building something special. They think that they're a year in and things are going really well under Carl Durrell, and they want to get as many opportunities to make a name for themselves as possible. And whether Carl Durrell's there or not in 2035, if you can throw one more game against a team that is in the top 25 in there, because that's really how all this works, is like, yeah, you play Florida in 2029. Hopefully they're good then. Hopefully they haven't just totally fallen off a cliff. Like, I feel like you're just looking for lottery tickets, opportunities to get big wins that get you attention.
It's true. So, I mean, so much can change. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's like CSU going to Texas Tech and in Arizona like 8 years from now. Those could be against top 25 teams. Those could also be very winnable Power 5 chances for the Rams. It's tough to see. Either way, it's good for exposure. But ultimately I'm just happy that this rivalry sticks around, because I'm here for anything that makes more people tune into college football in this state. And I think ultimately that's what the Rocky Mountain Showdown does. Hank, thanks for hopping on and joining me. Buffs fans, I hope you didn't, you know, hate every second of listening. I think we had a pretty balanced approach.
Yeah.
We didn't make this about trash talking. Yeah.
So the national attention, that's all great. That's what it's about. You try to go win those games to get that. Local attention is the backbone, though. And that's what you do by playing Colorado State. That is your backbone. That is how you don't have, you know, UCLA's problem where they can't get people to go to the Rose Bowl.
Nobody cares.
Could you imagine? Like, that is worst case scenario. That is like the death of a program, is if you can't get the people in your state to go to your games, to watch your games, to buy your gear. And that is why this is so important. And, you know, just because I was talking about the importance of the other games, this one is arguably more important than the other games. It's just that there are so many other games, so it kind of balances out differently.
No, and I think that's well said, because at the end of the day, yes, you want to have those big opportunity games against premier programs, but neither one of these programs, CSU or CU, are in a place, at least consistently, where they're having enough success where they can, you know, be like, no, we need these elite games and only elite games. Ultimately, we need both of these programs to get back to their winning ways. And then, you know, that's how we get back to these games really mattering. Hopefully both being in the top 25, all that crap. Anyways, that's all I have to say on the subject matter. I'm excited that it's back. Henry's excited that it's back. We've got all kinds of content coming up. Make sure you're checking out the Rams pod and the Buffs pod every single day. We've got draft pods galore coming up with the NFL draft. We're never going to sleep, dude.
No, I don't anymore. Not during camp. Sleep is for May and June and the kind of July, but then definitely not August.
Definitely not August. anyways, we're excited for sports to be back. I'm just excited to have real football, fans in the stands. That's what college football is all about. You know, the community aspect and the marching bands and the trash talking and tailgating and, I don't know, getting too drunk with your classmates and all that stuff. Anyways, I'm rambling now. Have a good rest of your day, night, whenever you listen to this podcast. Peace.